So if you have Bibles, you might turn to Mark chapter 5. Let's take a look at verses 35 through 40 and have a word of prayer, and then we'll dive in. So while he was still speaking, people came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher further?" But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the synagogue official. And he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And after entering, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. Putting them all aside, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was in bed. It takes a lot of courage to be a human being. I've been spending quite a bit of time this spring with my grandkids. My youngest one is about 2 years old now. Lovely little boy, blonde hair, eyes the color of Lake Tahoe. Beautiful little boy. And as I look into those eyes, I see that he does not know anything yet about arthritis or thunderstorms or depression. He doesn't wake up at night worrying about his relationships or his job or if the money can pay the bills or worrying about his own death. There's no fear in those deep blue eyes. He sleeps and he eats and he sighs when he is full. His world is about as wide as his mother's arms and as safe, and that's all he knows. As my grandchild ages, and as all my grandchildren have aged, they learn more. He will learn that bees sting, and that roses have thorns, and that other children will push and throw rocks. He'll learn that sticks and stones can break his bones, and he will even learn that words can even hurt deeper than that. He'll learn that a fever is like being set on fire, and that when his parents decide to move to another town or another state, he will not have any say in the matter at all. That's all part of growing up. It's not the only part by a long shot, but it is a hard part, and it is part of how we learn what it means to be a human being. Year after year, we add to our experience of the world. We push against our limits and what will budge and what will not. We gradually, over time, get a sense of our own power. We find that we can make certain things happen and we can prevent certain other things from happening. We can make friends. We can make enemies. We can say yes and we can say no. Some of us get so carried away with this discovery that we begin to think that we have control of our lives. We come of age, we decide what to be when we grow up, we open bank accounts, we make 5-year plans, we take our vitamins, we work out 3 times a week at the gym, we space out our children 2 years apart, and we raise them by the book. And 9 times out of 10, it actually seems to work. I mean, at least enough of the time that we convince ourselves that it's true, that if you do everything right, then everything will turn out all right, that human beings really can take charge of their lives until something happens. The income evaporates, you lose the job, the doctor finds a spot on the x-ray. The child's grades go down and down, and it's like being trapped inside a fine automobile when the brakes fail. In a split second, everything changes. One moment you are confidently and safely in command of your journey, and then in the next, you're being flung down the road in an expensive piece of machinery that will not stop. I've lost control. That's what good people say when bad things happen to them. I've lost control of my life. I've said it myself more times than I'd like to. But it's not true. Human beings do not lose control of their lives. What we lose is the illusion that we were ever in control of our lives in the first place. And it is a hard, hard lesson to learn. So hard that most of us have to go back to the drawing board over and over again, and we have to rethink our theology, and we have to rethink about what life means and what is it all about. Because we keep thinking that there must be some way to work it out, some way to master the human condition so that there are no more chinks in the armor, no more cracks in the wall, no more leaks in the dam, no more scares, no more black holes to fall into. But as far as I know, it cannot be done. Maybe that's why it's called the human condition, like asthma or nearsightedness. Being human is a condition that we have to live with. A splendid one in some respects, but with one with built-in limitations. Some things will budge for us and other things will not. We can't fly. We cannot live forever. We cannot control everything that happens to us. That is the human condition, and it can be frightening, because what it means is that we cannot choose all of the circumstances of our lives. All we can really choose is how we respond to them. And that's why it takes a lot of courage to be a human being. And the Bible is full of this. Jesus and his disciples are out on the lake when a heavy storm blows up. 8-foot waves swamp the boat. Lightning pops overhead like the sound of a bullwhip, and the disciples are terrified. The wind and the sea are beyond their control. These guys are expert fishermen and boatmen. They know what they're doing, but they're terrified. And Jesus lies sleeping on a pillow in the stern of the boat. "Teacher," they cry, "do you not care that we're perishing?" And so waking up, Jesus says, "Peace, be still." And the squall stops just like that, and the lake is flat like glass. "Why are you afraid?" he asks. "Have you still no faith?" A man possessed by an unclean spirit lives in a Gerasene graveyard. No one can control him. His ankles are scarred from the chains that he has finally snapped in two. And everyone is afraid of him until Jesus shows up. "Come out of the man," he says to the unclean spirit, and the man's sanity returns. Or take the story that we're looking at this morning, which follows right on the heels of these two stories that we just talked about. Jesus crosses the lake again and has not been on shore for 5 minutes when one of the leaders of the synagogue, a man named Jairus, falls at his feet. And he too is suffering from the human condition. He too is up against something that he cannot control. Not a storm this time or an unclean spirit, but the threat against the life of his child. His little girl is close to death, and there's nothing he can do. Nothing but lie in the dirt and beg. "Come, lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." But before Jesus can follow him home, the worst possible news comes. It's too late. She's gone. Only Jesus ignores this version of the truth, and turning to Jairus, he delivers the shortest sermon of his career. "Do not fear," he says to the grief-stricken man, "only believe." It is not just a word for Jairus, it's a word for all of us who suffer from the human condition, who are up against things we cannot control. Only believe what exactly? That our prayers will be answered? That things will turn out the way we think that they should? That we will get what we want? That's the way it seems to work out in the stories. People call on Jesus and they get what they want. The storm stops, the demon departs, the little girl gets up and walks around. So naturally, we try to figure out what those people did right so that we can do it too and get the same things that have happened to them, that they will happen to us. Only that is not what these stories are about. They are not stories about how to get God to do what we want, which is just another way of trying to stay in control. Instead, they are stories about who God is and how God acts and what God is like. Mark wrote them down for one reason and one reason only. Mark says, "This is no ordinary man. He tells us every way he knows how. This man is the Son of God. Believe it." Mark wanted people to believe so that they would have the strength to meet the days to come. Mark writes his gospel years after Jesus has gone. He's writing to the church, to believers at the time, to believers who never heard Jesus, never saw Jesus, never spoke to him, never heard him speak. And he wants those people to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, so that later, after he's gone, they would not lose heart. He wanted them to believe that when he was not around to talk with them face to face anymore, that he still had the power to calm their storms and send their demons away and to restore them to life in new and different ways. New and different ways because his own death changed everything by its own ordinariness. He was nailed to a cross. He bled. He died. in very short order. Those who came expecting mighty acts from him that day went away disappointed, because there at the end, he was up against the human condition just like the rest of us. You see, that was what he consented to do, so that God could show us the possibilities, how one human being willing to lose control of his life might receive it back again, not for a time, but for all time, and for all humankind as well. Do not fear, he says. Only believe. Only believe what? He doesn't say. But there are two choices here, apparently. When human beings discover that they are not in charge after all, they can fear or they can believe. They can panic and fall overboard, or they can quietly ride out the storm. They can panic, they can despair, or they can wait very quietly until sanity returns. They can be afraid, or they can believe. Now, judging by my own experience, it is almost never a matter of either or. I do not know anyone who believes all the time. But I do know how both fear and belief feel, and that there is a palpable difference between the two. Fear is a small cell with no air and no light. It's suffocating inside, and it's dark. There's no room to turn around. You can't turn around inside of it. You can only face one direction. But that hardly matters, since you can't see anything. You can't see your hand in front of your face. There is no future in the dark. Everything is over. Everything is past. When you are locked up like that, tomorrow is as far away as the moon. People can stop by and tap on the wall. They can even bang on the door to show you where it is. But when you are afraid, you cannot open up. You see, they might not be who they say they are. They might make things worse. It's safer to stay where you are, where you know what is what, even if you cannot breathe and you cannot move. And that is how fear feels. Belief is something else altogether, although it's not what some would have you believe. It is not a well-fluffed nest or a well-defended castle high on a hill. It is more like a rope bridge over a scenic gorge. It's sturdy, but it's swinging back and forth, with plenty of light and plenty of air, but precious little to hang on to, except for the stories that you've heard, that it is the best and the only way to get across, that it is possible, and that it will bear your weight. How many of you remember the scene in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? It's his last trial before he finds the Holy Grail, the cut, the chalice. He has to cross that chasm. He has to take a step of faith. He's terrified. And he puts his hand on his chest, and he pokes his leg out into the midair, and he leans forward and he steps. And suddenly, he's caught by a rock bridge that was invisible to him before he took his step. It's the rope bridge. All you have to do is believe in the bridge more than you believe in the gorge. But fortunately, you do have to believe, you do not have to believe it all by yourself. I want you to look around this morning. Just take a look at the people around you. You're still looking at me. Look around at the people around you. This is your community. These are your brothers and sisters. These are others who will believe it with you. And even those who will believe it for you when your faith wears thin or when you can't find it at all. You see, many of these people have already crossed the bridge ahead of you, and they are waiting there on the other side. You can talk to them if you like as you step into the air, putting one foot ahead of the other, and that just that one step at a time. You see, it takes a lot of courage to be a human being. If Jesus was who he said he was, then the bridge will hold you. Believing in him will not put you in charge or get us what we want or even save us from all harm. But believing in him, we may gradually lose our fear of our lives. Whatever the human condition we find ourselves in, we may finally learn to live it and maybe even to love it, if only because he lives and loves it too. Must be Jesus calling. So as we close the service, there's a quick little passage from Philippians chapter 4. This is the Apostle Paul, somebody who suffered greatly with the human condition his whole life and ultimately took the deep step of faith and crossed that chasm. And he's writing to the church at the very end of his life. He's now in prison and facing his own death. And he offers them a promise and a blessing and a guide for living life. He says, do not be anxious, fearful, doubting about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And he will give you everything you ask for. No, it doesn't say that. You will then have complete control of your life and circumstances. No, he doesn't say that either. He says, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that we do not have to face the human condition without you. You faced the human condition for us, and you overcame it for us. You rose from the dead for us, and you gave us a new life. An everlasting life, an abundant life, not safe from everything, not a control of everything, with no surprises, but you gave us the peace of God, knowing that we're safe in your hands. No matter what the outcome is, no matter what the future holds, we know who holds the future, and that's you. And we are in your hands, and we are safe there. Lord, come this morning. Give each one of us the peace of God which passes all understanding. May it guard our hearts and guard our minds. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.